I felt alone. Like I was trapped in a cold, dark room.
I will be the last to fall.
In a world overwhelmed by darkness, how does one move into the light?
I won't shed a tear for them to see.
It seemed as if I felt a ray of light. And it gave me the strength to break free.
I will be the last to fall.
Hell has lost its power. Be metal and stay metal with consistency. Continually choosing to make choices for a better future. Fortitude, having courage while overcoming obstacles. Grit, perseverance of effort combined with passion while working towards being better today than you were yesterday.
Once I broke free, I never intended on going back. But I had made a promise that if I ever found my way out, I would return and fight to liberate those still trapped inside. You are not alone. Rest assured, I will be the last to give up.
You're listening to the Metal Mentality Podcast. Now, here's your host, Preston Ewell.
All right, so I'm going to do something I've never done before. And it scares the crap out of me. So I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys. I'm going to share some personal stuff with you. I haven't told a lot of people. There's a lot of people hurting right now. And if I want to be the true, authentic, best version of myself, I need to do this. And I have a lot of fear right now before I do this. I've literally been spending the last 30 minutes like giving myself a pep talk while I'm getting my equipment set up here. And just got to do it. So I hope you take the time to listen to my message, because I believe this message may give some of you some hope, some encouragement, or know that you're not alone. And I'm here to fight for you. I'll be the last to give up fighting for you. This message has been slowly coming to a boil throughout the past few days. And today I had an event happen that turned what I've been feeling into a boiling pot of water that's got to come out. Can't stay in any longer. This morning when I was on my way to work, I was feeling really motivated. I was feeling really excited about the day. Excited to see what I could get accomplished. See what was offered to me. As I arrived to work, kind of walked in the door, the first thing somebody said, "Hey, did you hear?" I said, "No, what happened?" And as I said that, I knew. I knew what I was going to hear. And I was right. I was in his early 20s. He had picture perfect life of everything lined up, set up for him. He was happy. When he walked with a bounce because his hamstrings were so tight. Like a little rabbit. He was always positive. He always had a smile on his face. Never complained. He always had a positive attitude. Never once did I ever hear him say anything that would lead anyone to believe that he was suffering. He suffered in silence. He suffered alone. Nobody knew. None of us knew. And when we came to work today, we'd find out that he'd taken his own life yesterday. I'm sorry, guys. I'm feeling really deep. I'm hurting, man. Hurt. I'm angry, pissed off. I'm pissed off that I didn't know that he was hurting because I believe maybe there's something I could have done. Maybe there's something I could have shared with him. I would have given him hope for just one more day. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Let me tell you what I would have told him. I started a podcast called Metal Mentality. It's about having courage, having being consistent, having fortitude, and having grit so you can become better than you were the day before. This is my response to the love that I feel for you for listening to this right now. If you're listening to this message, if you've made it this far into this 5 minutes and 35 seconds, I want you to know that I love you, that I care about you, that you matter. God loves you. I created the podcast because we lose 22 veterans, our heroes, every single day to suicide. And yesterday was number 22. He's not the only one hurting right now. If you've watched 1 second of the news, you know there's a lot of pissed off people right now. They're all, and anger, it comes from a deeper emotion. It comes from the emotion of pain and suffering. In short, the mission statement that I came up with for the podcast is to alleviate the suffering of others. It's to fight for you when you feel like you can't fight anymore. I'll stand in your corner when you get knocked down. And when you can't get back up, I'll go in and I'll fight for you. But I can't fight for you if I don't know you're in a fight. I can't be there to heal your wounds when you get a bloody eye. I can't be there to give you a drink, to give you rest. I don't know. I think that that's what I'm mad about. That's why I'm so angry, is I didn't know. And it's not my fault. I know it's not. I don't feel guilty. I'm just pissed off at the situation. It's one of my brothers in arms. I don't know what he was going through. No idea. But I can empathize with his pain. I'll tell you how. I hope that you can empathize with me too, and him. So I invite you to think of the time you were suffering the most, when you felt the most pain you've ever felt in your entire life, when you felt hopeless, when you felt that there was no purpose in life. There was no purpose in your suffering. There was no relief in sight.
every one of us will experience something similar to this. Every one of us will go through our own personal hell. It is my mission to show you it's possible to get out of hell. This hell we put ourselves in sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes we choose to stay there because we don't know how to fight. We don't want to fight. We don't want to deal with it. When I was 12 years old, the most difficult trial of my life began. I developed an addiction to pornography. And you can say, oh, there's no way that's possible. It is. Do the research. It's real. I don't care if you disagree with me. I'm just going to tell you what I went through. You tell me if it doesn't sound like an addiction to you. This addiction developed because what I believe happened is I chose to quit feeling. I chose to quit being uncomfortable. When I was really little, one of my first memories is I was at church. I was probably 2 or 3 years old. And went into the nursery. And we were playing with toys. And they said it was snack time. This was probably 1986 or 87. And all the parents were supposed to pack their kids a little lunch or a snack. And so I had my bucket or bag, I don't know what I had, my snacks. And there was a kid visiting. And his parents didn't know that he needed to bring him a snack. And I noticed that he didn't have something to eat. And I didn't want him to go without. So I said, here, you can have some of mine. As I look back on this memory, it's because at that age, I knew I loved him. I don't know how. I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how I can look you right in the eyes right now and tell you that I love you. Mean it. I don't understand it. I don't need to understand it to know that it's real. And so as I got older, I still had this innocent childhood. I loved people. I loved helping people. And then at some point in my childhood, people didn't understand me. Adults and kids, they didn't get it. They didn't understand me. So I felt broken. I felt like there was something wrong with me. I was told by adults to, why are you being so emotional? Life's hard. You just have to deal with this. They didn't get it. Nobody taught me how to deal with my emotions. And by age 12, it became too much because as I expressed my emotions, I couldn't stop them. When I would see someone upset, I would become sad or upset because I loved them and I didn't want them to feel that way. So at age 12, I discovered a way to shut them off, to numb them. And I relied on that method. For 17 years. Anytime I became uncomfortable, I went to my go-to. I went to pornography. And because of my religious upbringing, I was taught that that was wrong to do that. And I felt that I was failing. I was a failure because I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop because I couldn't allow myself to feel the deep emotions that I felt. So I identified as a failure for not being able to beat this. In my eyes, I was a failure. That's who I was, Preston the failure. And as a failure, I didn't know who I was other than that. I didn't belong to myself. I belonged to the moment. I belonged to whatever I thought those that I was around wanted me to be. This led me to make a lot of bad decisions. You know, when a parent of a teenage girl says, "I don't want you hanging around him," that's probably that guy. I ended up getting in trouble with the law as a teenager because I wanted to be accepted for mandate. Peer pressure, pressure is not even the word to describe it. I did just what my peers wanted. They didn't pressure me. I just did it because I so desperately wanted someone to understand me and accept me. I never had a best friend growing up. My friends, at one point or another, every single one of them did something that you would consider betraying me. But I went back because I was so desperate. And I was in pain. I finally hit rock bottom after I've been married for 6 years. My wife knew about this addiction. And it was the dishonesty and my inability to tell her the truth about where I was at in pain recovery. And I disliked myself because I couldn't be honest. No, dislike. I despised myself. So I hit rock bottom. But before I did that, let me back up a little bit. This inability to stop, to change something that I didn't want to have control over me, left me feeling powerless. I was powerless. I can't tell you how many nights I spent I prayed to God that he would just take it from me. Because I believed he had the power to take it. And after begging him for long enough and it wasn't taken, I became angry. One night, I laid on my bed alone. Because I couldn't be at home with my wife, my daughter. It was my choice to not be there. I couldn't bring myself to be there. And the pain was so... The pain became anger. And I began yelling at God in my head. The words I was saying to myself, I started saying to God, and I was yelling at him. I finally said, "If you don't tell me why I'm going through this right now, I'll never talk to you again. Now, if you don't believe in God, that's fine, but this is my reality. So just hear me out. And if you do believe in God, you might be able to empathize with what I'm saying, how painful this was for me to tell him. But I meant it. I had to know why. There had to be a reason why he wasn't taking it. Eventually, I got my answer. I needed to go through it. And I believed in that moment, if I had chosen, he would have taken it. That would have been the end. But I came to understand that I needed to go through the suffering. I needed to be uncomfortable. I needed to feel pain and learn how to overcome it. There was purpose behind it. And that purpose has led me to back up. That choice has led me to where I'm at today. Had I not gone through that, I would not be the person that I am today. I wouldn't change anything. I've come to understand that I was given the gift of addiction. So remember when I was little? And I had a love for people. And I shared my snack. I chose to go through that and not have it taken from me. So that I could share my lunch with you right now. What I'm offering you is empathy. So I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the Black people of America are going through right now. There's things I can't understand. I accept that I can't understand them. As a white man in America, born in middle class, there's things I am not capable of understanding. And by understanding that, I recognize that that's privilege. That's what privilege is. That these issues that are being faced by so many people because of the color of their skin. The fact that I don't have to deal with that unless I choose to, it's called privilege. I have the privilege of not having to do that. I hate so much that that's reality. I hate it. So what I'm asking you is, did you think that moment you were in pain, you were suffering, you felt hopeless? There was no way anything was going to change. Maybe you can't get quite that deep. But put yourself as close as you can and feel that pain. I know you haven't forgotten it. You might have stuffed it away, but you haven't forgotten it. It's there. You don't forget pain. Pain is there to teach you. It's there to remind you of danger. Remember that pain. Feel that pain as you feel that pain. That's what's going on in America right now. That is called empathy. So while I cannot understand these things, because I was born into privilege, I can remember my pain. when I did not see any purpose in going on in it. I did not understand why it was the way it was. So if you've ever said to yourself, I'm not racist, ask yourself, am I anti-racist? Because you're either a racist or you're against racist. There is no middle ground. By saying I'm not a racist, you're not helping. And I can say that to you because I've said that for years. Because I didn't understand. I kept my mouth shut. I chose to sit it out because it didn't affect me directly. That's privilege. So if you find yourself in that situation, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you don't understand. And then I just want to help you understand. So how do I find my way out of my hell? A lot of time, a lot of practice, a lot of counselors, a lot of failure. And the more I failed, the more I learned. And what I learned is I had to be accountable for not just my actions, but the thoughts that I held on to that were counterproductive, that were negative, that were bias-based from what I learned from culture, society, church, family, and most importantly, the negative self-talk. Telling myself a failure, you can't tell yourself that because you'll believe it. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago and a guest on. I can't remember his name. Trevor Wahid? Is that right? It was on the Ed Milet podcast. Ed Milet show. And he said that they can scientifically prove that the negative words we say out loud to ourselves, I'm stupid, I'm an idiot, I'm a failure. What the hell are you thinking? What are you doing? You suck. When you say those words to yourself, they're 40 to 50 times more impactful on our mental well-being than the positive words we say out loud. Negative self-talk will utterly prevent you from self-growth. So be kind to yourself. Love yourself for who you are. You're not a failure because you're still trying. In the book, Deliberate Discomfort by Jason Van Camp. You all need to read it. There's a line in there, a quote in there, and it perfectly articulates why failure is important. He says, failure is fertilizer. And it's the fertilizer that you need to grow and develop and become the best version of yourself. So if you feel that you're failing at something, change your perspective. Look at that as fertilizer. Because what failure is evidence that the way you're trying to do something isn't working. Thomas Edison said, I did not fail 10,000 times to build a light bulb. I learned 10,000 different ways to not build a light bulb. Fertilizer. So what I learned through all of this, the most important thing that I learned, this whole experience that I'm sharing with you that I went through. If you don't already love yourself, start holding yourself accountable. Hold yourself accountable for the things you say you do. And most importantly, this negative self-talk that you say. Another quote, I don't know where this came from, but it's changed my life, is the first thought that you have is not what defines you. It's what you do with that thought afterwards that defines you. That's what your character is. Have you ever been walking in the grocery store and you see someone who's maybe overweight, unattractive, obnoxious, and you think something negative about that person? What do you do with that thought? Are you telling yourself, wait, why did I say that? Why do I think that? That's what culture has taught you to think. What defines your character is if you continue to believe that lie, that assumption that you made. If you tell yourself afterwards, whoa, I don't know that. Whoa, that was rude. Why would I think that? That's who you are. So we can't just sit here and say that we're colorblind. Because we need to see color right now. If you're a white person, you need to see color right now. And see that other people are suffering and being killed. Because their skin color is different than yours. Because racism exists. So don't judge people by their color. Don't say you're colorblind. See the color of the person. And if it's not the same as yours, put yourself in their shoes and imagine what they're going through. Judge someone by their character. Character is not what you say. It's what you do that defines character. And when you see someone who may be suffering, you have to have compassion for them. Because fighting and arguing and bickering and not seeking to understand and put yourself in their shoes isn't going to solve anything. This is not their problem. This is a us problem, a we problem. We have a problem. We have to stand together. If you were angry when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, you should be pissed off right now. And I'll tell you, when Colin Kaepernick took that knee, I was angry because I didn't understand what he was trying to do. I didn't want to listen because it made me uncomfortable. So if this message has made you uncomfortable, you've made it this far, thank you. That was the intent, to make you uncomfortable. Because unless you're willing to become uncomfortable, things aren't going to change. If you hate what you see going on in the news, have compassion. Have love for them. Accept their reality. Be part of the solution. Use whatever platform you have, not just your social media, not just the things you say, but do something. And let me tell you, if that scares you, good. Because as you have courage, and you face that fear, and you're brave and confident enough to do what is right, to stand up for right, you'll grow more. You'll be a better person for it. And you can alleviate some of that burden. And you can look yourself in the mirror and see that you're a man or a woman of character. That you stood up for right. You stood up for fairness. You stood up for justice. Justice isn't just for one race or two or three. Justice is for everyone. Justice is a principle that this country's founded on. Our country was founded on a protest. Protest against a king who said, this is how you're going to live your life and you're going to do this. And we said, no, we're not doing this anymore. That's what's happening right now in America. A protest of Americans. Whose ancestors were brought here against their will to serve the white man. It's reality. It sucks. This is uncomfortable. Don't quit on me. Stay with me. Let's grow. All right? For hundreds of years, Black people were brought here and treated as dirt. They were property, like a car. Or even less than that. You don't go out and beat your car for not running, right? And people, that happened to people. This is reality. And you can't shackle someone and their ancestors for hundreds of years and set them free and say everything's fair. Because they've been held back. And if you don't feel you've been held back, then you live a life of privilege. And that's okay that you do that, but it's what you choose to do with it. Believe me, I was one of those that fought this idea of privilege, male privilege, white privilege, all of this. I fought it tooth and nail for so long and called it bullcrap. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that. But I understand what it is now. So I'm choosing to use this privilege right now and share this message with you to help you understand. People are suffering in a different way. And you have the ability to make a difference in their lives. You have the ability to validate their pain. I truly believe if she would have talked to someone and simply had his pain validated, his suffering validated, he would have been at work today. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. That's not how I choose to see things. I choose to believe that if we have dialogue and empathy, we can make things right. Well, 40 minutes later, if you've made it this far, at any point you felt uncomfortable, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to share my experience with you. I share that with you because I love you. Every single one of you that listen to the podcast, or any one of you are on social media who don't listen to my podcast, that's cool. I don't care. But if you even made it halfway through this, thank you. If you gave me 5 minutes, thank you. We got to be better. The way we end this is with love. So what do you value most in life? I value love. Because I believe with love we can change the world. It starts with one person at a time. And if one person hears this message and their perspective has changed, then that's a start. If this message has had any impact on you, please share it. Please share it. My goal is small. I hope to get 100 shares. I want 100 people to share this message. That's it. And if that doesn't happen, that's fine. That's my goal. I want 100 people to hear this. So when you go to bed tonight, or tomorrow, whenever you listen to this, thank God for what you have. And as you show gratitude, you'll realize you have more of what you need than what you actually want. Thank you to everyone in France who listens to the show. 40% of the downloads come from France. Love you, French people. Thank you for listening to my message, the messages of others. Thank you for helping me achieve my mission of accomplishing or of alleviating the suffering of others. I can't do this alone. Nobody wants to hear me go on like this every single episode. I need you to share it. I need your help. Together, let's be unified. Let's do what's right.
Hey guys, be sure to follow the Metal Mentality Podcast on social media. And as always, if you find value in the show, please leave a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. But more importantly, share this podcast with someone you know who would benefit from the messages from the guests on each episode. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @Metal Mentality.